Hi, this is Rosie Langhorne, and you're listening to Alex Lefchuk and the team on the Midweek Drive.
Splendid, and welcome to the first August Summer Midweek Drive of 2017. In a world where North Korea have tested another missile and an asteroid has just missed the Earth a few days ago by a very, very small amount, is it true that Bill Coles is happy because he's swum the Bosporus? Bill, are you happy?
Yes. I'm going to be on a high for about the next month, I think, yes.
Well, good news. So it's worked. It's, I mean, all we talked about last week, the lines that, yeah, Bill Coles has been successful. As you can hear, Bill, the spirit of the Midweek Drive is just moved beyond words. So, share with us, how did it actually go? What was the feeling? Did you get out to the centre part of the Bosporus? Did you, we carried it along like a cork on a bottle? What was the whole experience like?
Istanbul is pretty hot at the moment. It's in the mid-30s, and as we were going out up the course, there are about 3,000 of us on this ferry, and we're going up the course, which is about 4 miles, and I'm thinking, this is a long way. And then we all pile out of the ferry at 10 o'clock, and you just jump straight in the Bosporus, and off you go. And my friend Robin, he lost his cap and his goggles, and so he was doing a lot of squealing, but eventually somebody handed them over to him in the water. And then the main thing is to get mid-current, which is where the, or midstream, where the current is fastest. And I was only doing a breaststroke, which is not that great compared to freestyle. But anyway, if you're doing breaststroke, you can see where you're going. You've got a much better view of things. And so I'm midstream, and I'm bowling along the devil's current. It goes along at 7 knots. And so if you can get into that one, then you're doing okay. So eventually, after 1 hour, 25 minutes, I haul myself out of the water and to see this amazing sight of all these hundreds and hundreds of swimmers who'd been swept past the finish and who were all floundering away in the Bosphorus trying to get back to the finish line, and they were making very heavy weather of it.
Clearly, you demonstrated that you've got the right stuff. Are you going to be doing it again? Have you now become hooked on the whole thing? Is this just the first step to actually doing a David Walliams and swimming across the channel?
I don't think so, no. The only reason I was doing this, because I was absolutely useless at swimming, so 5 years ago, I thought, right, well, I'm just doing boring runs. I'm going to learn to swim properly and do a couple of big swims, and so that's it for the moment. I might... There is a swim across the Volga, which slightly tempts me, but the channel, doing the Thames like David Walliams, is not going to be for me, no.
And the possibility of a triathlon? Because clearly that's the other aspect that you can consider now.
Yes, I like biking, but it does biking sort of long distances on those... with those razor saddles going up your backside doesn't do it for me either. No, well, not at the moment. No. I'm currently resting on my laurels, and yes, it's as I'm going to sleep, I remember the juiciest bits of going down this this epic waterway, bowled along by the current. Yeah.
Will life in Edinburgh just seem a little bit more mundane and just passive now, too passive? I mean, will you feel as though, because we've talked over the last year, Bill, about you taking part in that that grand horse race, and we kind of thought, well, that was interesting, then of course you've gone Bosphorus. We've obviously had the era of Bill Coles doing the wonderful chauffeur Hong Kong taxi scenario, which was a great scenario there. Are you looking for more ways to increase the thrill power in your life?
Yes, of course I am. I mean, you're actually talking about lunatic ventures. And
I wouldn't presume to say anything on that basis, Bill. I mean, to make that kind of quality judgment, it's just, please, you know?
Yes, lunatic ventures are... you need a number of these projects sort of going on at the same time. And I'm quite tempted by this pilgrimage to northern Spain, to Santiago de Compostela, which normally takes about 2 or 3 months, but there is a very tough one, the Primitivo, which takes about 2 weeks, and I think, yeah, maybe I could do that one over the hills.
Well, it is doable, because we did feature a fine soul, friend of Tallulah Rendell's, who actually took her son and daughter on the pilgrimage and actually did that whole system. So I can say that, yeah, it's definitely doable, and I think it could well fall into your experience of life categories.
Yes, although I'd have to learn Spanish, which would take a few months. But yes, I mean, if you give me some fresh windmill to tilt at that even half takes my fancy, I'd be up for it. But swimming, you know, I'm done with swimming for the moment. I want something that I'm absolutely useless at to kind of learn a new skill.
This could almost be a case of me being Sancho Panza to your Don Quixote, of course. And who knows what Peter O'Toole will be thinking from that perspective. On a slightly different note, I'm not sure if you're aware or the news broke in Turkey that a space rock, which is now designated as Asteroid 2017-001, was detected on July the 23rd of this fine year from the Atlas Milo telescope at Mauna...
Yes, yes,
thank you very much. Well, actually, it's Mauna Loa in Hawaii. An analysis of its trajectory actually revealed that it had been closest to Earth on July the 20th, and it was literally just a matter of 76,448 miles away.
So we could have been totally wiped out, like the dinosaurs.
Well, we certainly could have had a major impact on our hands. It's nice to know that the astronomers actually discovered it just as it went by. Oops. Oh, well, never mind. They don't want to panic us. That's the important thing. And besides, they realised that your swim was far too important to actually to disturb with notions of an asteroid getting in the way.
However, what would happen if it plummeted into the sea? Are we talking sort of global tidal waves?
Well, the comparisons have been made to a house-sized asteroid that actually penetrated the skies over Chelyabinsk, Russia, in February 2013. That actually led to more than 1,000 people to seek treatment for injuries, mostly from flying glass. So, it's significant, shall we say, in these sort of pre-Brexit, post-Brexit days. It's very strange indeed. Are you back in Edinburgh next week, or is it a case of no?
Yes, indeed. I'm back in Edinburgh next week, and I am looking forward to the rain. I've had my hide scorched off. I don't really take to this heat. I have gone native in Scotland, and I like the rain, I like it being dreek, and I like not having to put on sunscreen in the morning.
I suppose it kind of offsets the notion of the midges that always seem to infect one. If you particularly go into the Scottish Highlands and heather, that's less so in Edinburgh. I don't know. We might actually pay a visit to you in the month of August. Who knows where the world will take us? I spent most of the last few days actually having a one-to-one session with Colonel Curdle, who is the mascot from the York Maze. Most peculiar. Totally sorry. I mean, yeah, how often in your career can you actually say, Bill, that you've spent time interviewing a man dressed as a giant cob who actually couldn't speak, so it was great for radio.
Right. I thought you were going to be talking to a nut colonel, but a cob colonel.
Cob colonel. Yes, cob colonel. It was amazing. Sorry, I couldn't resist it, but that's you'll hear that sort of coming through. I don't know why I actually said it. Did you ever, in your time in Washington, ever encounter the musical band the Ozark Mountain Daredevils?
I can't say I did. I don't think I did. No, are they any good?
Well, they've been going for a fine number of years. They are actually an undiscovered joy that we've worked with. And Royal Chapel, who will be joining us in the very near future, will be talking about his latest musical extravaganza, which is effectively a musical based on the worst ever massacre of police that was done by the Young Brothers back in the 1930s. So it's an interesting sort of line there. And,
how many police officers did they kill?
Six, I believe. Six. Highest number to date, I believe, in terms of various other ways. And the Young Brothers, kind of Jesse James characters, well, actually more Bonnie and Clyde, effectively. But we'll find out more about what Ruel and his team are actually involved with as far as that's concerned. Plus, of course, have a listen to the Ozark Mountain Daredevils. In fact, would you like to listen to one of their hits, Bill?
To kind of set you up.
Well, this is one of their high numbers from 1975. It's the Ozark Mountain Daredevils with Jackie Blue, Jackie Blue. reaching number 3 in the American Billboard charts of 1975, the Ozark Mountain Daredevils with Jackie Blue, and they're still going strong. Did that float your boat, William?
Yes. I might have to get the album. I'd never heard of them until you mentioned them. Yes, they're good.
That's what we kind of were spreading the word from that point of view. They were a band who were originally established to be a kind of country sound of the Eagles, but with a whole range of other fine factors there. And the Ozark Mountain Daredevils' very own Raul will be joining us in a few moments. Raul Chappell will be with us after we've actually sorted out an issue in Jersey with our correspondent Anna Lewis, who is currently trying to get a petition together to actually save the demolition of the Horlicks building in Slough. I know, obviously, the Horlicks building in Slough. Clearly, it puts a lot of people to sleep. Oh, perhaps not. So it goes. Bill, it's been a delight as ever. Don't forget you can access all manner of delightful William Cole's novels and books, both online, and it's just... Will this be serving as the premise of another adventure in storytelling, Bill?
It could well be. I love setting... around adventures like Dart Swims and that sort of thing.
Exactly. It'll definitely work. Actually, we need to ask the question, describe your little surroundings on that hill or mountain in Turkey that we're currently reaching you.
I'm not in Turkey at the moment. No, I'm in the highlands of Scotland, over in Kintyre at the moment. It's my mum's 80th, so we are celebrating her 80th with a week in the rain in Kintyre.
Ah, well, so clearly you've been working your way through that. You had we known, we would have automatically got Wings to actually do a special song for you, good self, which I'm sure will be wonderful in every sense of the word. But sadly, I don't think they're around. I mean, and Live and Let Die isn't the same thing. Your mum's not going to appreciate that, so I'll have to ease back on that. We'll get Mill of Kintyre out for another time. Meanwhile, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on this?
I've loved it. I always love it.
Well, that way, I feel as though it's always nice to start off the August 2017 summer special editions of the Midweek Drive in an appropriate fashion, and I think we just have, so will you return next week?
I'd love to, anytime. We all say I'm not trying to cause a big sensation. I'm just talking about my generation. What we all say. I'm trying to cause a big sensation. Just talking about my generation. Get around. Talking about my generation. Things ain't doing look awful. Talking about my generation. Yeah, I hope I die before I get old. We'll be right back.
keeping the cosmopolitan theme going, having moved from Bill Coles in the Mulligan Tire, talking about his experience swimming the Bosphorus, we now move to another ace individual soul who has taken her phone off silent mode. Yes, it's Anna Lewis.
Hello.
Good evening, Anna. I'll say good evening because I don't know, time these days, it just sort of catches us in all sorts of ways. And as we're heading off to central USA in a few moments, who knows what's going to happen. But we need to come straight to you, Anna, because as I said to Bill Coles, we need to find out the question, we need to find the answer to the question, why do you feel that the Horlicks building in Slough is worth saving?
Well, it's because a friend of mine used to be the archivist there, I think he was the archivist there. Obviously, it's a very unusual building. It does look like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, but that's not the reason it ought to be saved. It's because it's part of Britain's kind of... Yeah, I mean, Horlicks is an institution. You can't lose the Horlicks building. It's just not fair.
Yeah, but maybe they just don't want people to fall asleep anymore. They don't want that kind of evening, the drinks. They don't... I mean, it's not as though it's Ovaltine, is it? It's a completely different line. You know, I mean, the Ovaltinies will be up in arms. They'd be mobilised as we speak now. They'd be battling through. Horlicks? I don't know. Do you think you're going to be successful?
Well, I don't know. I think it's small lobby groups that make things happen. Mm. You know, I don't... Without that protest or without that reaction, I think... Worse things happen. There are other buildings that will disappear and other, you know, and it's part of our kind of legacy.
Before you know where they are, they'll be demolishing Walpole's Strawberry Hill base. The police will be coming in and do all sorts of things to that point of view. I know a few days ago you were saying, isn't it great to wake up in the morning to people actually having a neighbourly fight, to having dogs barking and various other bits and pieces. Have you decided to actually get the sirens out as well these days, or is it just somebody is whooping with joy in the background there?
Well, I'm in the local Jersey St Helier Parish Church at the moment, saving myself of the quiet.
Right.
You can hear in the background police sirens, so... There's obviously activity outside of the church walls.
Quite literally, Anna, you're engaging the medieval concept of seeking sanctuary on sacred ground.
Well, I'd found someone who I know through work doing some restful thinking in the area of the church as well. So it's not just me. There are other people that take solace in a bit of... quiet.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think it's wonderful. And so, I mean, I feel as though I should almost actually start speaking more quietly and just sort of keeping quiet on that basis, because actually if we're in church, you don't want to sort of commit sacrilege. It's interesting because Phil Learness, who should be connecting with us towards the end of the programme today from Los Angeles, just did a feature on a sacred painting in a funeral area of Los Angeles. So it's quite interesting. Yeah. Obviously, it's got a sort of special theme to the whole system. And you were delivering a little lecture earlier today. Anna, what were you speaking on?
Yes, it was movement to and from Jersey. Historic overview of what made people leave Jersey who were residents and who came to Jersey for whatever reason. So it was a bit of a big thing to tackle in half an hour, but thankfully it was done in the public library in a small room where, to be quite honest, it was full.
Anna, who does a weekly slot with the Midweek Drive at the start of the show? I tell you, you know, once you made that connection again via that fine Mark Zuckerberg internet Facebook thingy, I realised that the star was going to be rising. People have actually thought, what was she doing back in the day, back in the 1980s with all those Dalek shows? No, she's just opened up to a broader audience. You see, that's the whole thing. We'll need to have a little segment of the whole thing put to one side. In fact, if you'd like to listen to previous Anna Lewis podcasts, just simply go to our website, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com, type in Anna Lewis, and you can go back years. You know, it's amazing. You know, follow the whole thing through, follow the move, the shift, all of those kind of things. And what do you actually sort of have planned for the next few days, Anna? Is it just a case August, I'm going to relax?
Yes, well, I am. I'm going to meet... Well, the weather's shocking, but I'm meeting a friend to go and see the film tomorrow, the Dunkirk film, which is actually very good.
Richard Fitzwilliams, our film critic and former editor of International Who's Who, has said it was one of the finest movies, probably the best movie this year that he's actually seen, and finest movies ever. Not quite in Lawrence of Arabia's class, but still outstanding. Are you seeing it on IMAX or just an ordinary cinematic screen?
It's one of those, I don't know actually, we've only got one cinema in Jersey.
How quaint.
Yes, I know, parochial. But I think it's a good, you know, it is a good cinema, so I think we'll get the full text.
You'll get the full Christopher Nolan impact of the whole sort of sequence of what, of course, Churchill described as our finest hour. Until, of course, Alan Lewis graduated from Strawberry Hill, but that was another long time. Still, life continues. In case folk are actually wondering, where are the Studio Midrick drive-outs? As I said before, because of summer constructions and various other elements, we've had to rearrange, so I'm actually delivering this with Anna from a studio about 126 miles north of our normal Lincoln base.
Oh, my God, how strange is that?
I know, yeah, exactly. And that's why you're speaking to me now when I'm actually based in Middlesbrough. Middlesbrough, exactly. Midway between Durham and Whitby, which is what was called the Middle Borough. There we are. And if you're in Lincoln, don't be confused, because obviously the message, the system's going out on Siren FM, so it's all very confusing, but you know, it's enjoyable. It's an enjoyable confusion. That's the key thing. Before we actually head off to the Ozark Mountain Daredevils and their very own Rural Chapel, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Anna Lewis?
I have indeed, thank you.
So can we look forward to connecting with you again at a similar time, probably next week?
Yep, that would be wonderful. And I hope things go smoothly this week, I really do.
Well, you know, we'll make that decision, and they will. As I said at the start of the programme, at least we haven't been hit by the asteroid which nearly collided with the Earth. So that's all good. You know, so, and as far as I'm aware, I don't think Jersey are actually on the range of North Korean missile tests, so that's good. neither is Lincoln, so you can relax on that basis. And as the Ozark Mountain Daredevils would say, if you want to get to heaven, well, keep listening to Siren FM and the Midweek Drive. Happy trails, Anna.
Bye-bye.
Awesome and amazingly wonderful. Now, a few weeks back, Phil Leonis suggested that R.W. Sanders was a person who should feel a part of the whole Midweek Drive setup, and he did, and he recommended the absolutely sensational Rural Chapel come to contact with us, and it's Rural Chapel from, of course, the Ozark Mountain Daredevils that's with us now. Rural, how are you?
I'm fine, Alex. Thank you for the opportunity.
Genuine delight, Rural. I must admit, the Ozark Mountain Daredevils, I shared with a few other colleagues the fact that I was going to be interviewing somebody who was part of the OMDs, and they said, absolutely amazing. It's great to see that quality music maintains its place in the American Midwest and so on. So great stuff there. But we're here also to talk about another fantastic project that you're involved with, which, again, I was completely unaware of, the Young Brothers Massacre of 1932. And lots of extraordinary things happening here. Before we actually listen to some of the fantastic music that you've produced with this, with, of course, Laurie Locke, I was amazed to find that Laurie, when being interviewed by a local news channel, said that it was your good self who persuaded her that she could sing and actually make a record.
Yes, I don't know how to explain it, Alex. I just, I've always had this ability, and it serves everyone else but me, apparently. But I've always had this kind of ability to note people that perceive things differently, that seem to grasp the entire concept, I guess, to use a cliche, thought out of the box. And she was one of them. And actually, we were friends, and I spoke to her of this story that I wanted to do a project around, and kind of thought that possibly we could write some songs about this concept around the Young Brothers Massacre. And I guess it was because of that we had this, singular idea of what we were doing. And then she proceeded to write over half the songs on the album. Mm. I mean, it was amazing. Oh. I guess it kind of shows you what, if you find someone that has talent, if you just tell them they do, then sometimes it out.
It's a genuine case of co-creating, Rural. That's what we're here on this planet for. Do a bit of co-creation. We need more of it. I've got to say, actually, we're going to listen to this later. The song Drive-In, I thought, was absolutely amazing. It was really wonderful and so appropriate for the Midweek Drive. It's just wonderful. It could have been written for it. But before we go into that, I'd like to actually take a few moments to consider the whole issue of the Young Brothers Massacre in 1932. We're going to listen in a few moments to the Ballad of the Springfield, which I think is worth talking about. But just share with us, because this is something that people know about Al Capone, they know about the illegal liquor trade, they know about probably Bonnie and Clyde, and they know about, but the Young Brothers, not necessarily kind of really raising the sort of profile, and yet, as you said, more policemen killed in this particular standoff than ever before or since, thankfully.
Exactly. Well, the Springfield was then, it still is a large, we probably have in the metro area here in the Midwest in Springfield about 300,000 people, and that's today. Back then, it was a very small community, and this just didn't happen. It just didn't happen here, and one of the things that we were uttered by everyone we interviewed was that their relatives that were actually alive during this event said, we do not speak of this anymore. I mean, it put such a black eye on this community that, the elders told children, do not speak of this. And so it virtually disappeared from the history of Springfield. Some were very happy about that. But my father was personally involved. That's how I learned the story. From an introduction to the only surviving officer. So I think that's why it was never seized on and made a big deal, was because it was such a horrible event for this area.
Because, of course, you've got the classic American mythologies, the likes of Jesse James and the Ballad of Billy the Kid and the notions. I mean, obviously, that was in the 19th century. But you've always had this sense of the outlaw and the romanticization of the outlaw. But sometimes, the policeman who gets shot as a result, it's extraordinary. Let's have a listen to the Ballad of the Springfield. Would you like to introduce it, Roel, just to sort of take us into the next stage of discussion now? Because again, I have to say it's a classic sort of musical incarnation of the piece.
Well, and first let me say that these cuts were never designed to be top 40 or dance material or Appalachian rock or whatever. They were designed to tell a story, so we called them song stories. The Ballad of the Springfield Massacre is rather long, but it basically was designed to tell the story from front to end, kind of summing up the entire project.
Well, let's sit back and listen to this. I think in the words of the late, great Harry Chapin, it's nice to see that, you know, the notion of the folk telling, the storytelling is still there. Because after all, ballad is, that's what the whole thing goes back to in the 12th, 13th, 14th century. The Ballad of the Ballad of the Springfield Massacre, up now.
Soon after Christmas had vanished and New Year's was passing thereby, about four on Saturday evening, six officers bravely did die. In search of a famous man young, who had murdered some years there before, an officer of republic, and free from his justice did soar. It was near the city of Springfield when Hendrix was called to assist, with Tony and Mashburn and Meadows and others with guns in their fists. They started to capture young Harry, who at the home of his mother did stand, along with Hauser and Crosswhite. They intended to take the young man, but sadly they were destroyed, though well armed with many a gun, when Hendrix made open the doorway. At once there the battle was begun. Soon none were left living but Mashburn, for all who weren't dead had then fled, and he without hearing or eyesight could not witness the scene of the dead. Bandits soon then had departed and left like the wind in its might, six that were dead and were dying there in the darkness of night. Everywhere they were soon hunted, of the bandits they heard not a sound. And then in the outskirts of Houston, later then the bandits were found. In the cottage they took their own lives, for they hated to face what they'd done. On the floor lay the dead and the dying, at the point of the other one's gun. Sad for the brave six of Springfield, their wives and their children as well. But brave are the stories thereafter that people about them will tell. Don't grieve too much or their losses. Just think of their work as the best, because they stood for protection, because they stood for the best.
Absolutely amazing, awesome stuff, as we said, because they stood for protection, because they stood for the best. Gives me chills, Roel, gives me chills.
Thank you. Well, every song was a pleasure because it meant so much to my dad. And like I said, he knew all the participants, including the Young Brothers. Everyone knew everyone. It was a very small town. And, you know, this predated the FBI. So the fact of the matter was, if you're familiar with the Midwest, people would rob banks in Kansas and jump to Missouri to escape the local law enforcement, and they'd rob a bank in Missouri and jump to Arkansas. So this, you know, this was the time.
And in case people are crass enough to think it's got nothing to do with Springfield and Homer Simpson, that's a different Springfield, that's a different series. Although it'd be interesting to see sort of a Homer Simpson incarnation of one of the Young Brothers. I liked it so much, Roel. Right. I've become one of your official followers on Facebook. I would have gone to join a friend, but you've reached the friend limit, so there we are. It's amazing. There are sort of things there. Now, in addition to obviously being one of the fine musician and vocalist with the Ozark Mountain Daredevils, which we started off with, and you're also, I see, director at Play It Forward, which is wonderful. I mean, you're just a Renaissance man, Roel.
Yeah, it is a wonderful thing. I'm 63, and in the Daredevils, I'm young. The oldest, John Dillon, the three remaining principals, John Dillon, Steve Cash, and Mike Soup Granda, they're older than I. And, Soup, the bass player, actually introduced me to the idea of this, concept of Play It Forward that was started in St. Louis about a decade ago. And, the idea is to, under the, umbrella of a nonprofit, gather cash and instruments for children in Southwest Missouri now, our version is Play It Forward Southwest Missouri, to give to children that cannot afford to rent or buy. And the reason is because I know the importance of music. I know, you know, if you look back in history, every technological advancement, every icon of technology was a musician or an artist. And these are the people that think intuitively. These are the people that make the large advancements. And it's my argument that one can't really be an intellectual without being an artist as well.
No, I have to agree with that. And it's nice to see that although we have correspondence from Los Angeles and New York, that there's a good central viewpoint that's coming through from Missouri. I'm sure Phil Linus mentioned at the top of the piece, actually, when he's on his next road trip, we'll certainly be swinging by Missouri and touching base with your good self. If it's okay with you, I'd like to feature at least another two little tracks that you sent me from the Young Brothers routine, because again, I think it's just so wonderful. Can people actually get hold of this? Can they actually purchase the album through the internet, through the web? Is there a way of actually getting hold of it? Because I know that people are going to be saying, we want more of this fantastic material.
Well, that's very kind. And like the Daredevil say, it'll shine when it shines. Here, that project is 11 years old, and did it out of love, and now we've we're going to take some of the proceeds and donate it to Play It Forward, so thank you for the opportunity. The album is at CD Baby. You can just go to cdbaby.com and search for Storms Coming, The Young Brothers Massacre.
Well, the next track we're going to actually hear is indeed, as I've said earlier, probably the first one, which when I was listening to the album, I thought, yeah, that I like that. It really stands. I like the ballad one. I like them all. But this in particular one, sort of, somehow it resonated with me. It's got vocals by Laurie. In fact, if memory serves, she effectively does the whole thing from this whole aspect. It's called Keep Driving, which can be a maxim for life, really. You just keep driving. I love the sound effects, the way it sort of starts off with the traditional sort of routine. It's just great. Let's just settle back and you can talk to us about it afterwards.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Quite frankly, the perfect, perfect summer song. Yeah, drive away.
Yeah, the song actually was, and we found this out late in going through the project, but it came to our knowledge that they would not, the states would not allow these guys to be buried. Springfield wouldn't allow them to be buried here. They went to Oklahoma, they went to Kansas, they went to Arkansas. No one would allow them to be buried. Finally, Joplin, Missouri, allowed them to be buried there. And I've actually got photos of the burial site. But they literally drove, Hearst drove these guys around trying to find some place to plant them, and couldn't get it done. So that's why she wrote that song, which is a beautiful song. I mean, it's a great song.
I did say it was my favourite. It remains that I'm going to actually put it forward to Sound and Country Vision with Tessa Snart. I know it's a monthly show we produce for Siren FM, and I think we'll definitely be featuring that and a whole heap of other things. If time allowed, I'd love to get into the notion of the unvirtuous money circle and the connection between big agriculture, pharmaceutical companies, and various other things. That's a whole other world that I'd love to talk about with you all. But the time is as ever scooting by. I'm going to ask you now for you to pick your own favorite number from the album to sort of head off with us today. I mean, you know, I know it's like choosing between your offspring. You know, where do I actually go? Stick 'em up, Storm's Coming, I'm a Bad Bad Man, The Mob Song, I'd Give Anything. You know, where would you go? What would you say would be the best one to go?
I would say any one of Laurie's songs.
Oh,
I mean, they are absolutely. I still, to this day, you know, over a decade later, think they're just amazing. Keep Driving's one of mine. I would say, but there was one of mine that I liked. It was Oh Lord, Where Are You Now? That was written by the gentleman I got to speak with, the one that survived. His name was Frank Pike, and that was his song. He was the only survivor. Got away from that situation literally by running across an open field, zigzag like you would if you were trying to escape gunfire, and live to tell about it. So,
we'll put that into system and work our magic and make sure it's sorted through. But now it's time for two final questions, I'm afraid. Royal Chapel, ace musician, general all-round composer extraordinaire, and a member of the Ozark Mountain Daredevils, and a whole heap of other good things as well. Have you enjoyed your first telephonic link with us? Has it been okay for you, sir?
It was so wonderful. And I want to thank R.W. Sanders for this. I mean, you know, here, I'm not a real pushy guy, and I just primarily did this project out of love for my dad and what this story meant to him. And I just wanted to thank Mr. Sanders for putting you in touch with me, and they're all very kind.
I would like to also echo that thing. I mean, I'm so tempted to refer to R.W. as the Colonel, but that's another chicken sort of area, so I'm not going to go there. It's no relation whatsoever. No, the wonderful R.W. Sanders, brilliant stuff there. So the next critical question is, will you be kind enough to return in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of not only this project, but other projects, the Pay It Forward, and other views on life, etc.? Royal, will you be kind enough to return?
Alex, I would love to. Anytime, you just let me know I'm here.
Hey, Royal Chapel rules, quite literally. I couldn't resist it. You know, it's a Royal Chapel rules. It's RCR. Wonderful stuff. Royal, take care now.
From Airwolf, Magnum
yes,
PI,
sir.
And St. Elsewhere, Native Voices and Days of Our Lives, this is Jean Bruce Scott congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
Oh Lord, where are you now? Cold death and mayhem surround me, and I may lose my life tonight. Oh Lord, where are you now? Oh my head, your peaceful setting sun overlooks the gates of hell, and all my brothers are dying. Lord, where are you now? Evil calls me from a window, says my time is drawing nigh. give it up. There is no escape. My time has come to die. Oh Lord, where are you now? Cold death and mayhem surround me, and I may lose my life tonight. Cast my fate to the wind. Bullets rain down around me as I raise my life to win. Take me from this place. Prove this day. And I